기축구몰아까우다바깥내오르비무로가야가바깥내눈로굽마축구로굽마라
I love you, I love you. Let's get started the second part now. And
welcome back.
Welcome back to the second half of our holiday two-part series.
Holiday extravaganza.
I am Emperor Bobby Lee.
Error for short.
Error. We got George. We got Gil. We got Kalai. And I have a confession to make.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My confession is that I haven't played Destiny in about a week.
Okay.
And I'm done.
Officially.
I think I'm done. I've been playing Skyrim.
Great game.
Again, and I played it years ago, and they re-released it on Xbox One, and I'm having fun with it. And I'm just done. I feel nauseous when I even think about Destiny. And I'm done, just to let you guys know. And it's growth for me as a person. Mm. And also, it's the New Year's coming, right? New Year?
New Year's,
we have resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have resolutions?
For each other or for ourselves? Okay, Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry for interrupting, babe, but there's one problem that I have that I've been doing it since I was a baby is I lie a lot. And I can't stop.
Do you think they're black or white lies?
What's the difference?
White lies are little things that don't affect the overall outcome of someone's, they're not damning lies. They're not going to ruin anyone's life.
Then they're gray.
They're gray.
Yeah. my lies are sometimes gray.
They're mixed.
No, they're probably white. It's like, hey, make up a movie, and say, did you see it to me?
Hey, did you see the Charlie's Water?
Yeah, man. Woo.
Hey, dude.
Why would I lie about that?
Yeah.
But that's the stuff that I do.
Mm.
Did you check out that new album by Kentucky Ranch?
Oh, so good.
Yeah, real good. Mm. Like, we're both lying.
Those are pretty white.
two guys lying
just for no reason, right? I made up a band. He said that he liked it. Never heard of it before, right? So it's those kind of lies that I need. Why do I do that? Also, like, stories. Like, some of my stories, there's exaggerations in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's everyone.
Embellish.
And lies. Embellishments, right? To make it more exciting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know if that's something that I can change about myself.
I think the best storytellers are people that embellish.
Yeah. And also, it's like, I don't want to name drop, but
do it.
Rogan told me.
Joe Rogan of the UFC.
Rogan told me once, life is a movie. Just look at it like you're in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I like lying in my movie. I do.
This movie's Westworld. It's all lies.
It's all lies, you know.
It's so weird because when he gets confronted about a lie, he continues to lie even if there's hard evidence. It's one of those things, well, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're... And it's like, no, you literally texted this girl that you want to raw dog her. Like, it's right in front of my face.
What do you mean raw dog her?
Like, no condom.
What do you mean?
Like, in the beginning of a relationship, you would lie.
Like, what?
So
I raw dog.
Much.
Tell me, explain that.
And he would feel guilty. Like, I remember one time he's like, I haven't been to a strip club in so long. And I'm like, no, you can go if you want. Like, that doesn't really threaten me. So he went to Texas with an opener and he obviously went to a strip club. And I know that he lied about it because the next day he changed his status on Facebook to in a relationship.
Mm.
And in my head, I'm like, oh, he for sure has guilt in his heart. There's only one reason why he would feel so inclined to change his...
That's not true.
Anything good is just a...
It's crazy.
Yes. Yeah. And I'll tell you why, George. The best I ever got treated by a man was a weekend after he cheated on me. And all of a sudden, he wanted to get me a motorcycle. All of a sudden, he wanted to get me a timeshare. And that's when I became suspicious. And I thought to myself... What
I
is
never
this overcom
offered a motorcycle to you, babe?
But you
that would never do
ever
that.
Happen.
That's weird.
It's weird.
Yeah, like we went to the Harley store, you know, and it was like it made me suspicious. Not because I don't think that, you know, you can't do nice things for your partner, but it was too much. It was almost as if like you can tell when someone's trying to cover up something and they're trying to overcompensate. And so I sure enough he had cheated on me. So I become very suspicious when people just go off script of their usual. and all of a sudden they're being so kind. Their relationship isn't getting better. He just might have done something.
I've never cheated on you, okay?
I'm not saying that you did.
I never did.
Why is your nose so deep in the
mic? But I don't in know, the beginning of our relationship, she was talking about all that stuff. It made me want to bury my face into the microphone like this. I mean,
I've never you know why? Because he doesn't want his nose to grow like Pinocchio.
Oh, that's clever.
Disney reference.
Yeah. I've never cheated on you. I would never cheat on you.
No, okay? I'm not. We're over that. Like, yeah, we're so fucking far beyond that. I'm just talking about.
I don't even now follow girls on Instagram that are hot because she'll know.
And I've never told you not to follow
I know, but
them.
Still, there's like, why'd you follow so-and-so?
I never said that. I never, never, never said that. It was only one time after a trip from Toronto where you told me that the club manager had a girl for you that weekend that was assigned to you, and then you started following that girl. So in my head, I'm like, did he have sex with this girl? Because she's a very pretty girl. So I'm like, oh, it didn't make me feel good inside.
Dallin Doran.
No. That's not what it is.
It was in Edmonton.
No.
The girl that works at the club?
Nope. All right. Different story.
But I got in trouble for that too.
Because you went to a mall and took photographs that's our thing. You took photographs with a girl, a pretty girl that I've never met before, and posted it on your Instagram as if like I don't know. You guys are like gallivanting around town together, taking a ton of photos, and we were just 3 months together, and I'm like, whoa, I feel like chopped liver. Like, I don't. He hasn't called me all day. He's been posting pictures of another woman.
Look at Bobby.
It doesn't make any. I'm sorry, guys. Like, it doesn't make anybody
feel
good.
You're right.
And so, obviously, like, I think I'm a reasonable person, and I didn't attack you for it. I just said, hey, that's, you know, I'm not accusing you of anything, but this shit doesn't feel good.
You're right.
And that's all. That was the end of the discussion. And also, the end of the discussion was, why did you text this girl that you wanted to raw dog her? We're in a relationship, and you said, I don't know what you're talking about.
Which is jaw.
So yeah, you do have a lying part about you, but I think that
it's more deceiving than lying, but it's fine.
You know what? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have a lot of questions. Do we want to break? We have unhelpful.
Let's talk about questions? Something happier. That didn't make me feel good.
Baby, this podcast goes in rhythms and levels.
Yeah.
Okay.
But to be clear.
So that was a dark thing, and now we're going
to
go light.
Okay. To be clear, we don't have those issues anymore.
We don't have any.
I think that.
We're two peas in a pod.
We are.
Two peas in a pod.
No, we are really. We're in a symbiotic, you know, relationship that's real and honest in that way. And, you know, we have our problems. I mean, she says things that bother her, and I address them at the best I can, and I have issues too, but you know, we work through them, and we're trying the best we can. Yeah. I'm 45. I love Kalilah so much. Another thing is this is the longest relationship I've ever been in. You know, so it's just new ground and a new frontier I'm on. But at the end of the day, you know, when you watch shows like 600 Pound Life, you need people. You need family, and you need people, and I need her.
And I have to say, our third year together was probably the easiest year.
Nice.
When our first 6 to 8 months was very rough and very uncertain, and we didn't know a lot about each other. We were testing each other's boundaries often. But I got to say, this past year has been smooth sailing. Since we started this podcast, believe it or not, we've just about had no problems. I think we air out. This is a good therapeutic space for us to kind of hash it out. You know?
Also, there was a couple of podcasts in the beginning where you weren't even involved.
I didn't even really know you yet.
You didn't even know me that yet. And then we would have to
play our Dr. Phil. You were our Dr. Phil.
Yeah, I mean, there was one that we didn't even air because you were so upset.
There was a handful.
Yeah.
Kalilah walked out. We turned off the podcast. I didn't know Bobby yet. He came up to me like, what do I do, man? And I started to say something to him. I was like, Bobby Lee at Mad TV, you should shut the fuck up. And Bobby stormed out. I was like, why am I doing this job?
Yeah. And you were just left in the room by yourself.
I was by myself waiting an hour until they got ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The good old days.
When I get to that point, I usually just leave and I decompress. Now I just don't want to keep talking about it. I'm like, I know that I'm going to say some dumb shit because I'm impulsive. So I just exit and then re-enter when I'm ready. And usually I'm over it.
But I also have to say about this podcast, there is there is a, it's helped me in so many different ways in terms of my status in comedy.
And
yeah, at clubs even, like people talk about it now. Oh. And it's all because of the people I love, you know, I mean, I've said this before. It's been amazing in that way. But, you know, and Kalila did this, really. Kalila, this was her idea. I didn't want anything to do with it, really. But I wanted to help her because she wanted to have a podcast. And then we developed this. And it's been extremely positive and fun. And now, you know, we've got some people that want to do the show as guests. Mm-hmm. Higher level people. And it's great. Another New Year's resolution I want to talk about is, and this is real, there's no real comedy, is I want to be able to understand, and I know you said no politics, mm-hmm. but I want to be able to like have a relationship with my friends that voted for Trump. Mm. There's one in particular, I'm not going to name his name, he's a very big comic. I respect him. I love him. I know that he voted for Trump. And I was talking to him last night, and the first minute there was a weirdness. Mm-hmm. There really was. I was just trying to, in my head, don't bring it up.
Yeah.
You know, don't go, what the fuck, dude, you know? And then after talking to him for a couple of minutes, I forgot about it. It was back to, you know, same old thing of like talking, you know? Mm-hmm. And, but I need to figure out a way to accept that Trump is my president for the next 4 years.
Can I just talk a little bit politics? Because I think we do have Trump voters listening to the show.
I also need to talk politics after you.
Yeah. So yeah, the basic
I don't.
No, it's the worst part. I hate it, but that's mm-hmm. Because it's divisive. But I think like if you, it all depends. We're in a post-truth era. If you look at one type of news station, you're going to get one view of things. And if you get to look at another news station, it's a completely different world. I'm defending our fans, so now we can move on quickly. Then we'll get back into it when we.
I wish you wouldn't have said that.
No, it's not a debate, sweetie. What George is saying is absolutely true.
I don't believe that is fully true what you're saying, but I'm not going to debate you on it.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's that.
Okay. Can we get to my portion?
Go ahead.
Because I think part of being an adult is allowing yourself to change your mind and to criticize your previous thoughts. I want to express regret about being so diehard in defense of President Duterte of the Philippines. I think that, because I know that we have like Filipinos that listen to this. Mm. I think that initially the excitement of having somebody that was so anti the usual government of what we used to have made me feel like, oh, he's going to make a change. But I think that right now, my true feeling is that I'm very confused about where I stand with this guy. I'm very confused about how he's waging this war on drugs and 6,000 people are dead and a couple six-year-olds die in their sleep because of vigilante, you know, people just, you know, killing in the name of supposedly cleansing the Philippines, right? And I think that a lot of Filipinos share my sentiment in feeling confused about initially being excited about a guy who we thought was going to instill some type of change and then seeing him turn into this very bipolar demagogue. And I want to say that I'm hopeful, but I do express regret about coming into his defense so strongly and so blindly, because I think that the only way to grow is to be able to criticize even the person you support. And that's all I have to say about that.
Also, Trump, ideologically, what he represents isn't something that I support. But at the end of the day, he's still not, although he's in cahoots with Vladimir Putin, who like just can kill a civilian. Like Trump's not gonna kill a civilian, mm-hmm. or make an order to poison somebody, a journalist or something, yeah. right? So in that way, I'm blessed. I'm in America, and that I know that that's not gonna happen. Mm-hmm. Do I think that he needs to appoint people that are that believe in global warming? Yeah, you know. But his whole cabinet are environmental naysayers, right? Yeah. And that's bad for planet Earth. But at the end of the day, you know, the people have spoken. I just have to accept that we lost. I don't agree with any of his politics. I think that he doesn't speak for minorities or gays or the people that I, you know.
Oh, this isn't fun anymore.
No, that's it. That's it. That's it. That's all of it. That's it. All right. That's it. But anyone listening right now that's a Trump supporter, my heart is open to you. And I know that you have your reasons. And let's try to find a place where we can exist.
It's also very wrong to wish that this guy fails. You know, I hope he doesn't fail. I hope it's not a disaster because we still have to live in this country. There are a lot of people who are so adamant about him failing because they want their point proven. I don't want to be proven right. I want to be proven wrong. And I think that, you know, people always want to win their side of the discussion. Like, there isn't enough people who are rational enough to be like, you know what, it's okay to criticize. And more importantly, it's okay to change your mind. We're adults. That's not a bad thing, to change your sentiment, to change your mind about something as you see it progress. So yeah, maybe right now we're not pro-Trump, but down the road, a year from now, if he does change, it's okay to say, hey, you know what, he's not doing a bad job.
I mean,
we don't have to win.
Yeah, I know, but you know,
happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
I have one more thing. Okay. The thing that upsets me the most, and this is the last thing I want to say about it, and we'll move on, I swear to fucking God, is that, you know, his whole slogan was drain the swamp, right? And he hires the head of ExxonMobil to be his Secretary of State, right?
Rex Tiller.
that's not draining the swamp. He's basically...
building a swamp.
He's basically perpetuating capitalism, and he wants him and his billionaire buddies, right, to make money. And all these people that think that he's going to change their lives by, you know, doing something to change the economy in any kind of way... Is there what
I just said? Why I don't like politics is we're just repeating what we saw on MSNBC. People could go to MSNBC if they wanted to hear this. CNN, New York Times, they're always, everything is super anti-Trump. It's like if you only watch one thing, you're never going to see any positive in this guy. I mean, not saying that I've tried to get out of politics.
Happy
holidays.
I work so hard to be not informed because I want to be happy. I think the news just makes you sad by like repeating like awful things. That's the easiest thing to click on is a bad like news story. It's like anything negative, anything you agree with. You never look at anything you don't agree with.
It's also a social responsibility to be informed, George, especially if you're a minority. Yeah, because you are a very you're from a wealthy white family,
if
George.
Listen to me right now. If somebody's campaigning on the fact that he's going to build wall, right? Ban Muslims, all right? Deport Mexicans. And he doesn't do any of that, and his intentions were never to do any of that. It's called lying. That's all. He's a fucking liar.
Anyway. So happy you lure me in every time. I hate.
Give me the question.
You're easily lured, George.
Oh, I know.
Since this is our special holiday episode, we have all sorts of questions.
That shit makes me anxious as fuck when we talk about stuff like that.
There's a good thing.
It's real. It's what's happening in the world.
Yeah, but it's like, this is our New Year. So before we get started on the questions,
I have one more thing.
Something positive. No, we're not going to talk about any of that.
I'm not going to talk about politics.
Because that shit is tiring.
But I'm going to do this. Can we, and this is not comedy, again, we really seriously have to pray for people in Aleppo. Kids dying, being slaughtered. It's a fucking genocide.
Yeah.
And no one's helping them. Imagine being 100 kids in a basement, right? And they're about to die, and they're scared, and they haven't eaten, and no one's there to help them. Especially America is a really fucked up situation. And I don't, you know.
Look, getting on my knees and praying to God
is going to help.
Jesus is real.
Ask George.
Mobilizing is the only way to help. Give money. Give money to whatever organization is actually on the ground there. That's it. Before we get started on the questions, I want to ask everybody, favorite part of the year, favorite memory of the year, and worst memory of the year? Favorite part of the year and
I don't
least
really
favorite.
Because everything's going to be like just revolved around my my career, and I can't do it.
Just try and remember.
I already know what it is.
For the best part or the...
No, yeah, your favorite part of something that happened in your life, like a positive and then a negative. Negative first and then a positive. We'll start with the negative so we end
Oh,
good.
Negative? Oh, never mind.
Yeah, you can start, George.
You don't know negative?
Oh, I was going to go with positive, but it's all related to Tiger Belly. When my cousin posted on the Instagram, like, hey, why aren't you working on this? Tiger Belly. He was like, he just asked, George, why aren't you working on this? I was like, I don't know.
That was negative for you?
No, no, it was the positive. That was the positive. I was like, I should be. And then Kalila DM'd me immediately after, and I got out of doing stupid YouTube videos.
Wait, that's how that happened?
Yeah. Bryce had posted on our Tiger Belly page, like, hey, at George Kimmel, why aren't you working
for
Tiger Belly? And then I read it, and I said, yeah, why isn't George working for Tiger Belly?
And then I was like, who's George?
And then George was like, can I be
and
Gilbert's
I asked
intern?
Bobby.
I was like, I could email Bobby a million times, wouldn't get a response.
And then we met up with George. Gilbert and I met up with George, and we said, we have no money. There is no pay. We're really just winging this.
One of us has HPV.
Well, three of us have HPV. And do you want to be a part of it? And he said, fuck yeah. And then that's where it started.
That's my greatest time. That was enough for number one. And
what's your least favorite part of the year?
I am so bad at these because I never think of like negatives. I actually like, because of this podcast, I've tried to start listing things that I've never told anyone, and it's just that
What about being rejected by Jessica? Did that hurt your feelings?
Jesus, Kalila.
That was pretty bad.
Good God.
No, let's have an honest moment. I think that he was hurt.
Yeah.
And I think that it's okay. It's easy to be like, yeah, you know, it didn't affect me, but I know George, and I know that it affected him, and I think that makes it even sweeter.
Yeah.
It makes you, it's very endearing that it mattered to you that much because, you know.
Yeah.
What about you, Bobby?
Everything that I'm going to say has to do with, you know, show business.
Do it.
All right. The bottom one with the worst time this year was that?
Amy Poehler.
Amy Poehler.
Amy Poehler audition.
The audition, yeah.
I had this audition where Amy Poehler was producing and I didn't think she was going to be there. And I had it down, dude. I really did. I had it inside and out. I drove to Universal. I went in there, and she was there in the room. And when I saw her, I froze.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had this panic, right? And then all of a sudden, I was doing the audition, and I didn't know any of it. Like, I had to read it. I mean, it was terrible, right? And I walked out of the audition, tears, as soon as I walked out, coming down my face. And I remember I parked like a mile away, because Universe is long, and I had a bottle of water, and I was hitting my head over with this bottle of water to the point where I was getting like welts on my head, you know? And I wanted to relapse.
Mm.
It was so painful.
Jeez.
The best time of the year,
Booking.com?
Maybe that, like being... doing that with Jane Lynch when I was making out with her was that day felt like no, what it felt like though was the opposite of the Amy Poehler thing, where it was like kind of like, oh my God, I'm, because everyone, like the one of the CAA was there, all these people were there, and they were like, what do you need? And they just made me feel,
and it was good money,
like I was relevant, you know. So maybe that was the best. But it's all bullshit show business. It's like, you know,
it's not bullshit, it's your life.
No, you know what, the worst time was not that. God, what a fucking asshole I am. Is when my dad got sick again.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Anyway. Why didn't I remember that?
What about you, Gil?
The worst, like Bobby career related, I'm pretty usually confident coming out of stuff, but the pilot season from this year, I had like three producer sessions where they're like, they like you, you're going to make this happen, my management was telling me. And then I didn't get those three in a row. Mm-hmm. And usually I'm like, whatever, something will happen. But like, I just remember being like, fuck. I'm 27. What the fuck is going on right now? And I was like, shit, I suck. Because I don't get that many auditions. So when I do get one, I have to make it happen. Mm-hmm. Then I remember Bobby was saying, like, it'll happen. Just everything has to click. Like, so many things have to click for it to work that one time.
Yeah.
But it was, I was questioning myself for probably like a month or two, beginning of the year. Best thing, two things, CBS Diversity Showcase. I thought I was going to hate it, but it's been really great so far.
And Cindy.
And I was going to say that. And first time in a long, I mean, I'll just say first time in a serious relationship.
Mm-hmm. Do you love her?
Jesus, can you calm down?
Do you love her?
You've been together for months now.
Do you love her?
That's a fair question. Or do you want to, you haven't told her yet and we can wait? We can wait.
I do.
Yeah.
My mom's going to yell at me. Why? You need to get to know her better. Does she pray? Does she pray?
Yeah, yeah.
My mom's also super white. I don't know why I said it in an accent.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, those things. Kalila?
Oh God, the worst thing that has happened to me this year is finding out that my aunt has stage 4 cancer and only has less than a year. And so we're probably going to take a trip to Germany sometime soon to spend time with her.
It sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. And it's painful because
that's
my
nice, lively woman. You can
met her.
I met her, yeah. She's a nice lady.
She's probably the reason why I'm so vocal and open about everything is because she was always that. She's the aunt who always talked about her nipples. She's like, let me show you my pinkish. She calls them pinkish.
Ooh.
And she's so just like, there's a hypersexuality about her that she never was afraid to show. And she was just my most lively aunt. She is my most lively aunt. She still is. She's in the hospital right now. She always has full makeup by 7 a.m. She's very, very particular about her looks. But that's very painful because it hurts me to see my mom so hurt. That's her sister, you know. My favorite part of the year is everything that has to do with being around you guys. Even when I'm going through a lot of health problems, I think that this is a very grounding environment, and it brings me back to life. Oh, my cheeks are trembling because I feel like I'm gonna cry.
Yeah, but make me nervous.
But I do love you guys. I think a lot more than either I show or more than I realize. Because you guys are like my family. Okay, I'm gonna cry. So
happy holidays, Merry Christmas. Can we get a zoom up on that face for a T-shirt?
Are you crying too, bitch?
No, I'm not at all. I'm like completely the opposite of Eric.
Can you hurry up?
Yeah.
I'm okay, like, let's go to questions.
Crying? Yeah, it was like one of those.
So you guys have three options. We have just regular questions from the fans wanted to ask. We have unhelpful advice questions. And a lot of people have a lot of MMA questions because we have not touched anything.
Why not? I feel so sad about it because I have so much to say about MMA. But we'll do MMA last.
Okay.
Because that way they can... You know.
Well, let's start with the regular, just a regular fan question.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Someone asked on Twitter. Let me pull it up. Oh God, there's so much Margaret stuff now. I have to go through it.
Worst Christmas gift ever received.
From who?
This is on Instagram. RXunder. Mine was a bookmark with a magnifying lens. I was 13.
Yours, Kalila, worst.
Worst. Go Bobby first. I can't even think of one. His was his pillow, I think.
Well, here's the worst gift I ever gave someone for Christmas.
Yeah.
When I was dating, you know, Sarah, I was dating this comic named Sarah Hyland.
Yeah.
And she's from Louisville, Kentucky. And her parents were in LA for Christmas. And I got her a gift. I forgot what it was, but it wasn't something that she wanted. Like, I could tell it was like underwhelming. So I just thought, I need to give her something else. So I have a surprise for you. And so in my closet, in a box, I had this vintage painting. Like, cool. Like, it was like unicorn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, she loves unicorns and shit like that. So I fucking wrapped it. And her parents were at my house. I was living above the Comedy Store. And I gave it to her, and she opened it. And she goes, oh, I go, Merry Christmas, another gift I got for you. She goes, I gave you this last year.
Damn, man.
And her parents were there, and it wasn't funny.
Oh.
What is your problem?
And everyone was like looking at me like, really, dude?
No one laughed?
My family would laugh at that wasn't, shit. No, it wasn't funny because it was really embarrassing. Anyway.
God, that's really... You?
I think that...
I remember
a
that
friend was. Of mine gave me some bogus, like an enlarged safety pin. And she was like, well, this means this and this means that. And she was getting all philosophical. I'm like, no, bitch, you just broke and you're giving me a safety pin. You're trying to add meaning, you know? That was probably the worst one because I didn't buy into what she said it meant. And I'm like, God, could you have just gotten me like a protein bar or something? A safety pin. So that was probably my worst one. Because I felt like she was fronting, like it was something.
My worst one was something I asked for, but I was just trying to say it out loud so I looked like I was tough. Like, I was, everyone was into paintball at the time.
Yeah.
So I got a paintball gun, and that's all I got. And I fucking hate paintball because I'm a pussy, and I'm going to get fucking pegged by a paintball. So I never actually went paintballing. I just had the gun.
You just asked for it because you thought it was cool to ask
for
like,
it? Everyone saw the picture, like, I got a paintball gun too. And mine was like, see, stupid. I never used it. Stupid gift.
Next question.
This is from at Alan Alvarado on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Tiger Belly, what is one thing you would change with time travel?
Oh.
In the past?
In your past. It could even be a personal thing, so it doesn't have to be like, you know, stop the Holocaust, but
something. Just in your own life.
Yeah, personal to you.
Okay.
One, it can be a tiny, the butterfly effect, so one tiny thing. George, anything? That you didn't tell us a story about Brad Pitt?
I don't know. Wouldn't have broken up with one girl. That's a boring one, though.
Who? Why?
How about all those hand jobs you've been getting lately, George?
Dude, 37 getting hand jobs. I'm back in it, man.
To completion, too.
Wait, completion, but remember, it went in your eye.
Yeah.
That's the weird thing.
He nutted in his own eye.
He nutted in his own eye.
You nutted and it squirted in your own eye?
Yeah.
It took forever because this girl was not like, it was like very tentative.
Yeah.
So then it was so built up by the time it came.
Yeah.
It was just like a rocket right in my own fucking eye. I was blinking the whole time. I was kind of happy, but I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You disgusting heathen.
Fucking gross.
You heathen.
I don't even ever want to hear that again.
Wait, babe. So if he's already pink dick with pink eye, what does that make him? Just pink all over?
I don't know.
You got pinkest eye. Pinker eye. You
seem like you have chunky cum.
Ooh, I know you do.
I know, I have very chunky cum. It's like oatmeal. Yeah. It's a steel cut oatmeal.
I get both. What decides the...
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter? Okay.
No.
Good. I thought it was sick at one point.
No.
It came out black.
Anyway, clear. Honestly, that question really threw me for a loop because of the fact that I believe that I wouldn't change anything about my life right now. And yeah. I believe that if I changed anything in the past, it could indirectly affect my life.
True.
Right? So,
yeah.
Yeah. Like even the little bit of a, you know, of a change, especially gigantic historical events would change my life.
Yeah. There have been moments.
It changes everything.
That's true.
I think some of the regrets I have are always like what I say on this podcast because I always think that it's just the four of us and I often forget there are a lot of people listening. So I say some dumb shit a lot and I'll be the first to admit that sometimes when I listen back, I cringe and I'm like, "Woof, Kalela, it did not come out like you intended." My other regret is not, I think I mentioned
this. What specific
thing?
Do you have a specific thing?
What were you thinking of? Yeah.
One of it was I talked about defending the fucking Philippine president. That makes me cringe
because
it's like, ugh, Kalela, like you just wanted to oppose, you know. Also, I think, ugh, I'm not even gonna say it because it makes me like.
No, do it. You have to say it now.
My butt clench. Like when we got into that whole Red Band Kate Quigley thing, I wish that whole thing disappeared.
Right.
I wish that we never even like.
There's another thing. That's one thing.
We went on the, you know, we didn't go high. Like we got petty. It was petty and it was stupid and
I wish I wouldn't have gone on Joey Diaz's podcast and talk about John Caparillo.
Why?
Because that caused the whole storm.
Well, him and I are no longer friends, and it's weird. It may never get fixed, and you know, I shouldn't have done that. I should have just shut my mouth. I know that he did these things in the past, but I had let it go at the time. And it's like, it was just something that I shouldn't have said. Because, you know, at the end of the day, he's a very good comic. And, you know, he's not the nicest guy in the world, but still, I was kind of friends with him. You know, we would say, talk to each other and stuff. I just regret that whole episode, really, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Especially him yelling at me and getting that screaming fight that we had.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like it. You know, that's another thing is like getting into wars with comics in general, which is I'm always in the middle of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just done with that.
Yeah, that feeling is not something that I ever want to feel. Even that whole thing with us talking about like Charlie and whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, that had repercussions and, I didn't go unscathed and he wanted to, you know, retaliate in his own way. And I accept it, but at the same time, it's unsettling, you know, it's unsettling and it doesn't make you feel good. It doesn't make your day go well. And yeah, it's like a lot of things I've learned this year is that it doesn't always have to be said, especially when it's like personal stuff, really, mm-hmm. really personal stuff. We don't need to say it. There are a ton of other things that we can talk about. We can share a few things about our lives like in the past, but if it's happening today, maybe we should sit on it a little longer before we, you know, maybe let it marinate a little longer, let the situation marinate before we talk about it, because friendships could end, people could mm-hmm. get hurt, and it's just not a good place to be.
Yeah, that whole thing was it was terrible.
It's terrible, and I mostly feel just confused about
it's just the terrible. Whole thing. I haven't addressed it in the most, and I've been ignoring it and avoiding it, to be honest mm-hmm. with you, because I haven't talked to him.
Oh, I thought there was an aftermath.
No, I haven't talked to him in months.
He thought that it would make him feel better to unleash all his anger towards me. I think that he truly believes that somehow I've manipulated Bobby to go against him. And it's like, the only thing I've manipulated Bobby to do is to write you checks. That's the only manipulation I've done. When Bobby was reluctant to help, the only thing I've ever said to Bobby is, don't leave your friend hanging. So for the fact that he wants to troll on Instagram and say all these things about me is really unsettling, because it's like, mm-hmm. dude, I was always on your side. I came up with a hashtag Charlie is a good guy. I made stickers of his face. I really wanted to see what we could do with him, you know, because he mm-hmm. was his best friend. And it makes me really sad that all of a sudden I became enemy number one to him, when I always felt like, in my heart, I wanted him to be a part of our family. I wanted him to be our ally. I wanted to be his ally. And I don't know, that just makes me sad altogether. But that's another regret, I guess, is just talking about it at all.
Yeah.
At all. He didn't, you know.
What type of gifts are okay to re-gift and which are not?
We learned from Bobby, don't do that.
Like pillows.
Re-gift that shit all day.
Re-gift socks. Because socks are like...
Unless they're cool.
Yeah, I mean, as long as they're not worn.
Yeah, I mean, they're just bullshit gifts that people give people. Like, I do it too. Like I'll just go to Starbucks and get a gift card.
A gift card, yeah.
You mean, or socks, you know? Like, if you're not gonna fucking spend some money or be legitimate about it, then it's like, don't bother, bro. You know what I mean, dog? Because I ain't, you know... Like, my brother fucking got me a pocket pussy. I told you that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But he had already used it. No, that's, thank you.
That's so don't, weird. That's no so re-gifting weird to sex toys. Do not re-gift sex toys.
You know, he didn't wash it. He didn't. Fuck.
Yeah.
You know, like, go but, and but buy a new one.
I think
one.
That's sweet. That's, like, his most prized possession, possibly.
No, because it doesn't work anymore. The reason why he gave it to me. Because it was ripped. It was ripped. And then, yeah, and it's already done.
Yeah.
You know, my brother and my stepson, he gave me a pack of cigarettes and he smoked half the pack. You know, yeah. He's done that. He's That's done funny. Stuff like that. And he's given me socks before. So now my brother and I just understand we do nothing.
Well, your brother, though, is very considerate with me. There isn't a birthday or a Christmas that he doesn't wrap something for me and write a card for me.
Aww.
Steve is very cute like that. He's not like you. He does care. And even if it's not, they're not expensive gifts.
Oh, my God. Don't even get me started, woman. Don't even get me started.
I like gestures like that. I love your brother.
I like it like that. I love your brother.
I love Stevie. He's like one of my favorites.
So much. He's generous and open.
What's his voice?
It's like, what?
Your bro's the best.
Your
I love him.
The best.
You're good too.
I'm
you're
the best.
Best.
I'm the best.
You're
best.
The emperor error.
Give me another fucking question, man.
This is from TFSS Feels on Tiger Belly Instagram. Any plans for Bobby to do a comedy tour in Australia? Have you done one before?
Listen. Anyone listening in Australia, I want to fucking go there.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do it.
Shows.
Melbourne,
but, Sydney.
But the fucking festivals and stuff that have to bring me over there. Oh, somebody has to contact me and go, let's do this.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But I'm not going to just show up with my backpack and go to a comedy club and go, hey, can I go up? It's a different country. It's got to be, I've done it in South Africa. But it was a festival. I was there for 2 months, and I did it with a bunch of guys. I know that they have festivals in Australia. Fucking just invite me.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're listening to Australia, you know a dude that knows a dude, right? Mm-hmm. Get that dude to call my and then make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I want to go.
Yep.
Can yep. Captain Bobo tell us some high school wrestling stories?
I think you've told a lot.
I haven't told everything, though.
Okay, tell us one more.
Steroids.
Well, no, that's not it.
Oh.
Well, but, I mean, I wish you didn't say that.
Well.
There was one unfortunate situation.
The story.
And I'm just going to say this, and this does not reflect on the Poway High School wrestling team.
Mm-hmm.
But this happened once. I ended up being in the woods with the whole team.
Uh-huh.
And we all had to pick a tree and bend over. And they injected shit into our assholes. Not assholes,
wait,
but the
what?
Ass cheek.
Wait, what?
It was steroids.
Steroids, yeah. DECA? Whoa. Yeah.
Is it an embellishment of a story, or is this...
Yeah, no, is this real?
What that's the
real.
Fuck, Poway?
And I don't think the coaching staff had anything to do with it. I think it was the heavyweight or the light, one of the guys
captain
that, like, yeah, that did it.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember being out there going, I don't want this done. But yeah. I was forced to do it.
Oh, God.
But I don't want Poway, this to be another controversy. So that was in the 80s.
Yeah.
So that nobody there is there, and let's just move on.
And they won a lot of titles, so calm down.
Yeah, so calm down.
So calm the fuck down. They're champions, all right?
This is a good question.
And also another thing is that a lot of the wrestling team and I, the reason when I lost my virginity, it had to do with the wrestling team because there was a couple of guys that was on the wrestling
team.
And
we got last dibs.
Yes.
You got final dibs. Because you were the lowest weight class, right?
Yes.
Who's fatter, Bert Kreischer or Tom Segura?
Mm-hmm.
Bert Kreischer.
Bert Kreischer is fatter?
Yeah.
Okay. Good answer. What else?
But this is both very funny.
Yeah.
This is from Jamie Dummy on Tiger Belly Instagram.
Uh-huh.
What are you guys, what are y'all's favorite celebrity crushes?
Oh, shit.
Glyla?
My brother has a thing. Where if and we still have the tape, it's at my parents' house.
Yeah,
it's a cassette. I'm not kidding you. Ask my brother the next time he's on it. If you push play, this is what you hear. I love you, Drew Barrymore. I love you, Drew Barrymore.
Aww.
I love you, Drew Barrymore. I love you, Drew Barrymore. And he repeats it 1,000 times. Right,
that's one of his songs.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's a song. Oh,
he's turned it into a song. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but okay. The reason why it's a song is because there is a tape at home where he repeats it 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So
childhood crushes better. I can.
Who
cares about my crush now? It's my only
Gwen
crush
Stefani.
Is my babe.
Yep.
Ooh.
Yeah. My childhood crush was Devon Sawa.
Who is that? I don't even know who that is.
Really?
Yeah. Who is Devon Sawa?
Devon Sawa. He's from Little Giants. Is that the movie? He's also from Casper.
Oh, the kid, the boy.
Yeah.
So he is Casper, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And also Michael Rosenbaum, obviously.
Yeah. Well, no, like this was child, super child crush. What about yours? I'm
trying to remember. The lady from Y Tu Mama Tambien.
Y Tu Mama Tambien.
Yeah.
The
one that was like naked all the time.
Yeah, the only lady, the main one. Yeah. She was really hot. You, Bobby? Young.
Oh, Young.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Jodie Foster in the movie The Accused.
Yes. Good choice.
When she was raped on.
Oh my God.
I love it. But the reason is because she was raped, and I love that.
God damn
so
it,
much.
Bobby.
Look into my soul. I'm Bobby Lee. I like it when people
get
raped.
I'm totally kidding. I'm totally kidding. I was wrong.
Oh, man.
No, that was a brutal scene.
Yeah.
But can I just say something right now? Is it wrong? Let me just say, if I had jerked off to that scene when I was a kid, would that be wrong?
No, because you're still. You don't know any better. If you're 8 years old and something turns you on, you just go for it.
Let me ask you, George, is that wrong that I masturbated to a rape scene in the movie The Accused?
Yes, but depending on your age, you may have an excuse.
Yeah, but also there is a thing 14, as rapey 13. Porn.
Yeah.
You know, there's.
I was watching a serious movie by myself. We had HBO at the time at my house.
Ooh.
It was on. I didn't know what it was. And then I like Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
And then there was a pinball machine. She's on it. And I got aroused. And I they did three strokes and I came right away, and then I felt guilty for a year.
Three strokes, that's fine then. You did it as quickly as possible.
Oh, yeah, get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Now, if I was 38, would that be weird?
Yeah, because you have access
to
other things.
Then I was 14.
Okay.
Then I was 14 in that case. 100% 14.
There's another rape scene. Just listen, right? That it's called Irreversible, the movie. And there's literally an 8-minute rape scene.
Wow.
8 minutes?
In a tunnel.
Yeah, it's with that French actress.
Yeah, and it's so uncomfortable to watch.
She's so hot, though. What is her name?
Marion Cotillard?
No, no, she's a little older than that.
I don't know her name, but it is the most brutal rape scene. I hate that scene.
But I jerked off to it.
No, I didn't say that.
Okay.
And that's coming out of your mouth.
Yeah, we're gonna get quoted for it.
Honestly, ask Kalila. Mm-hmm. I hate those kind of scenes in fucking
movies. Porn, even too.
I hate MO. I hate any kind of movie.
But we do act it out. We do role play.
We have role played that before. Like
first,
but I'm always like some sort of camp counselor. And
can you show
me
the? I've never heard the camp counselor one. Can we get that one?
It'd be like, so, is this your first time at this camp?
Baby. I mean, no, last year I kind of had a thing with Joey, but we couldn't tell anybody because he was 21.
Oh, yeah, you fucked Joey? All right. But you know what? I'm 60.
I mean, I guess if you can keep a secret, I'm okay with it.
Yeah. It was that kind of thing.
Oh, wow.
Like, I'm getting aroused right now by doing it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I also act super stupid, but then I always end up, like, raping him instead.
Yeah, yeah. And then I have to go, stop.
Yeah.
I'm 60. Like, you're only 14.
No, no means no. You're right? And then she like grabs my neck and goes, fuck
you. She's like, I'm going to get you fired.
Oh, God.
She does that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She'll do like a little
extortion stuff.
Extortion thing.
That's
like, she did one where I was like her dad's business partner.
Yeah.
Right.
So specific.
And then I'm going to tell your dad, my dad.
Yeah,
it's
if
very
you don't
specific.
Fuck me, I'm going to tell. Yeah, I'm going to show the videotape.
Yeah, but it's also like.
But he's
you know,
married, so he can't fuck me anymore.
Oh, I see.
But then I'm like, if you stop fucking me, if you stop becoming my lover.
She gets really, like, you know, specific.
Yeah.
Like, because you guys are doing the business with the Koch brothers, and like, it's like really, like, real.
Yeah.
And like, oh, yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
All right, next one. Bobby, would you rather lose one of your testicles or have Kalila vigorously finger you in the butthole?
Who's that from?
This is from The Chosen Juan 1.
What? I mean, no, I would vigorously play with my butthole because I want my testicle for life.
Yeah, so you want to get, like,
that's
just
ridiculous.
Pounded on? Yeah.
But
yeah,
vigorously, though. Jesus.
It's like, would you watch a man being murdered on the internet or get your eyes gouged out?
Okay, let me change it up. Every day. Vigorously fingered every day.
And look at her fingers.
Look
at her
fingers.
Look
at my fingers, my ET fingers.
Still, I want my testicle. And also, you know, that's right there. It would be a horrible life.
Yeah. He would just have to get used to getting ass fucked.
Ouch.
Okay, next.
Do you think Sage Northcutt's squeaky clean image is a ruse, or is he hiding some dark, disturbing secret?
MMA Minute.
Yeah,
I think
it back.
I want Mickey Gall to destroy Sage Northcutt. I think Sage Northcutt is probably a sweet boy.
He's
I don't
nice
think
kid.
That it's a ruse.
He's American Psycho.
But you think so?
Oh, yeah. Dudes like that, dude, are like, they're not. He's just a Republican, white, Christian, conservative. You know, he really cares about his hair and his body and the right spray tan.
He doesn't bother me as much as his dad's bedazzled jeans bother
Affliction
me.
Affliction jeans.
Yeah.
Yeah, his father, I think, is a little bit more troublesome to me. But Sage seems pretty just, sometimes he doesn't know. Like, do you see that video of him, like, crushing an apple with his hand? It's called, like, the Apple Challenge. It's the most absurd thing I've ever seen, but he's so unaware. There is a sense of delusion about him. I think he's been he's lived a very sheltered life for sure. Yeah. I don't think it's a ruse, though. I think that's who he is. I think the dad's a little sus, though. Mm. But go Mickey Gall.
We began a lot of messages from last week. We couldn't talk about it because Margaret was here. Do Ho Choi,
yes.
The Korean Superboy. A lot of people want to know, what are your thoughts on like another MMA,
well,
Asian MMA star you're making?
I brought it up last night to Joe. I really did. I go, dude, that Korean is like, I know, dude. He goes, that guy has the heart of a lion.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, there is no lose in his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be a very, very interesting prospect, you know, in MMA. I think that Dana White, and they really like him.
Yeah.
And although he lost, he won me over as a fan. I'm a fan for life.
I don't think anyone lost that fight. I don't think either. I don't think any of them. I think we won. It's one of those things where the fight was so good and so entertaining and so many points of like you thought it was going to be over, but he just stood there and fucking took all those shots.
And I have to say, what's the other guy's name?
Cub Swanson.
Cub Swanson's new look.
Very good.
Very good.
Ugh.
The hair.
With the little fancy
mustache. Little
mustache. Silver Lake mustache.
Very handsome.
He kind of looks like old-timey hipster.
Yeah.
I really like it a lot. Keep that look going, dude, because that worked. And you know what? I never really liked Cub Swanson, and I became a fan.
That fight was
that
insane.
That fight was so fun to watch. It was an amazing
that
thing.
That old card was amazing. That kick by Donald Cerrone.
Yeah. Cerrone is a beast. Let's say that right now, dude. He is technical. I was not a fan of his.
Oh, really? You didn't
for
like
years,
him.
But why? For the last couple of years, I've been watching him, and I'm like, no, this guy is really legitimately really good, especially when he went up in weight. Mm-hmm.
To 170.
Yeah, he's far more, he just feels stronger, you know? He's also very technical. Mm-hmm. Like, his precision, his combinations mm-hmm. are amazing.
It's a video game.
Yeah, I really, really, I'm a fan of his.
Then Max Holloway won the title.
Well, interim.
Interim, yeah.
It's still Jose Aldo. That was so silly.
Jose won interim too, but then they just bumped him up.
Yeah, he just got promoted because Connor had to vacate.
Which he says he hasn't.
I mean, it's like he has to defend it though. There hasn't been a title shot in however long he's been on other.
In that way, it's bullshit. Classes. It's like, how does someone bullshit. Like Jose Aldo, who's the champion for 10 fucking years, not get an immediate fucking rematch?
Yeah, so that's sort of why, you know,
he wants to get out. He wants to get out of his contract. By the way,
yeah, he wants to leave and play soccer.
He wants to leave and play soccer.
Oh,
for Flamenco or whatever the team's called.
Yeah, I mean he was disrespected in that way, mm-hmm. Jose Aldo.
Most disrespected is Frankie Edgar.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're WME UFC now, you just need to make money. So they just
who's disrespected more than him?
Frankie.
Why?
Frankie just never got a shot at anything.
It's he never got a title shot.
Not at 145. Mm-mm. Oh, yeah, he fought.
Yeah, but
Jose.
If you would,
no, I know. But what I'm saying is, recently, like in the age of Conor McGregor.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah, but the thing is that he's had opportunity, and in those opportunities, if you don't clinch the win that's important to you for your career, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's almost as if you're saying that he never got to fight any of these guys. At any crucial moment. He did. He just lost.
I'm just talking about big money fights. Frankie Edgar has been around for so long that he deserved that big money fight.
Yeah.
You know, he's paid his dues. And.
But you know who disappeared is what's his name? What? Alvarez. Eddie Alvarez disappeared. He hasn't posted anything on Instagram.
He did. Did you not read
No, I read that,
letter?
But that was the last one. That letter. That was
really nice.
Very
letter.
Heartbreaking.
I like Eddie Alvarez.
At least he got paid.
And then my two cents on Ronda coming back is that I don't see it.
You don't see her beating Amanda?
I'm so excited.
She beats her easily. Amanda Nunes.
I'm excited. I don't think easily.
Wait. What did you just say to me right now?
Ronda Rousey beats Amanda Nunes easily. She's a striker. Okay, she's a striker that's like very aggressive.
Apparently, you haven't seen Amanda Nunes in the ring then.
Yeah, I saw her one. She beat Misha.
Right.
She also lost to Kat Zingano.
Yeah, but that was earlier on in her career, though.
The last couple of... Dude.
She's still... But no one can take her down like Ronda.
Yeah, once Ronda takes you down, it's a little bit...
My prediction is this, and I think that Ronda has done amazing things. She was the most influential fighter, aside from Conor McGregor's...
MMA.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Yeah. So I understand. I'm giving her props for that. And she's very talented. I'm not saying that. Okay? But what I'm saying is that... Amanda Nunes is an evolved fighter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's precise, she's technical, and she's also a beast. She has all the combinations that I think that Johanna has.
Yeah.
Right? And I really believe that Amanda Nunes is going to destroy Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
Pick her apart.
You guys should put money on it then.
I'll bet $100 on it.
I'll bet less than that.
No, if you really see, here's what I hate about
I'll
bets.
Do 50.
This is what I hate about bets, right? If you're so confident, then you should just go, I'll bet 1,000. I know this for a fact. That's 1,000 that I'm going to get.
You should always put money on an underdog anyway.
So then you don't believe in it.
I just got to be smart because I need to pay rent.
All right. How about this? $50.
$50.
Whoa, they're handshaking. Official. It's official.
Right, $50. And then what happens? Ronda wins, and then Holly wins 145 division. They do champ versus champ. WME is happy. Big money fight. That's what happens.
I gotta go, guys.
No problem.
Is it? Do you already?
Yeah.
What time's your spot? How long have we been doing this?
Oh, we're basically at 2 hours.
Right at two hours?
Yeah, but we have one more unhelpful advice question.
Yeah, do unhelpful. I'm sorry.
Unhelpful advice. Yeah.
I know.
All right.
Unhelpful advice with Bobby and Kalilah.
The answer to this question is probably going to fall more on Kalilah, given her background as a nurse, but I'm interested to hear Bobby's side too, given the time he spent with her in hospitals. I've been an intensive care nurse for just under 2 years now and absolutely love my parents and their families. But I have a tendency to let patient family members walk all over me because I'm still very new to nursing and feel like I need to please everyone. How should I make it known that while I'm here to help my patient have the best chances at surviving a critical illness or trauma, as well as help the family cope, that the hospital is not a hotel and I'm more than a bellboy? So I guess...
That's pretty frustrating because a lot of my friends who graduated me, who are working, who are in their second year of nursing, some of them are ICU nurses, who are very, very good nurses, very bright girls. They have the exact same question. You know, I have, I even have a girlfriend of mine who, she's a white girl, a blonde girl from Orange County. She's a very, very bright girl, very astute, probably one of the smartest girls that came out of my nursing program. But because of the demographics of Long Beach Memorial, she gets hated on a lot. Kind of like what we do to you, George, where it's like the families who either if they're like, you know, for instance, she gave me an example of, let's say, for instance, an African-American family who completely just are like, oh, like, what is that white girl? What does that little white girl know? You know, she's doing her best. It's an intense setting, right? It's a one-on-one, one nurse. Sometimes they have two patients, but you got tubes coming out. Like everything, every 5 minutes matters. And when you're an intensive care nurse, it is very, very like high stress job. And I think that it's normal because she is a new nurse. You just have to grit and bear. That's part of the process. I think I don't have an answer for you other than
I have an answer.
You're Bobby going does. To figure it out.
I have an answer. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
The last time we went to the hospital, Kalilah and I, right? She had to get, a nurse had to come in and do some tests on her, right? She had to hook something up. They had to do something. I don't know what it is. Mm. But I was in the way, right? And she just sat there patiently. And I said to her, I go, oh, I'm so sorry. I know I'm in your way. I'll move. Because I'm her boyfriend, but they have to do a job.
Yeah.
Okay, and if I'm in the way of that job, then you tell me I'm in the fucking way. Mm. All right, because I know that you guys are professionals, and if I knew how to nurse, she wouldn't have to come to the hospital. Mm. I'd have the equipment at home, but I'm not a professional.
So I guess you're right. It is good to stand firm and stand your ground. And if people are not respecting the space of healing, you should let them know, like, hey, this isn't conducive to me working, doing what I need to do for your family member. If you can exit while I do this, you know, it's obviously their right to be there. But if it's getting in the way of what you need to do, you have the right to verbalize that.
But when my dad was in the hospital and my brother and I came, I think it was like a year ago, and my mom was at the hospital and we showed up during the day and my mom goes, they didn't feed him breakfast.
Oh yeah, we were there. Yeah.
Right, remember?
Yeah.
And my brother and I just went, because the reason why they did that was because here they see an immigrant mother who barely speaks English. I mean, she speaks English, but you know, in front of Americans, she gets nervous, right? And so they just kind of ran over her.
Yeah.
So then I come up with Kalilah and my brother and I. And my brother, I don't know if you know, but he's cute. But when he gets angry, he's a snapperhead.
Rage.
So we're both like going, what the, you know what I mean? We're angry, right? And then they were like, oh, no, we, you know, sorry. You know, there must have been like, you know, a miscommunication, right? Just do your fucking job, too.
Yeah, but
do your job and I will let you do your job.
I'll tell you what, though. yes, there are a lot of reckless nurses that are usually in the med-surg floor or like a lesser like acuity floor, but she's an ICU nurse. Intensive care, it, like I said, it's one-on-one. The doctor will probably show up for 5 minutes to do an assessment, but everything falls on this nurse. Every tiny bit of change, if the patient decompensates, it's on her. It's on her. All of it is on her shoulders.
When they're dead, then they start decomposing?
No, decompensate means like your blood pressure, something happened, your heart rate, you know. Oh, like,
well, they should say, name it something else then.
When they're not doing well.
Yeah, it sounds like decomposing.
Yeah, but her job is a very, very tough job. It's an honorable job. And if the family is getting in the way of your work, you should say it diplomatically, nicely, and say, this is what I have to do. Like, get out of my way. However nicely you can put that.
Honorable isn't even the word. It's your job is probably one of the most important jobs at the fucking hospital.
Especially at this level.
Yeah, and it's ICU. Like...
Yeah.
You know,
all praise be
like
to the nurse.
Surgeries and those kind of things are left to the surgeon, but everything around that, you're very important. And I've noticed that from my dad's sickness and from your sickness. And I already, you know, I know that, you know, she's a nurse, my girlfriend, and also
you
went to school, you know, and oh my God, this guy, you know what just happened?
Oh my God, ADD child. What
that
happened?
Was such a quick snap.
You know what just happened?
What happened? What?
The Hifix says, I'm doing a warlock on Destiny.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, I don't play Destiny, but I just let him do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But anyway, your job is important, and don't let these people. All right.
Happy holidays.
We're all gonna hold hands, and we're gonna end in a nice little kumbaya note. My hands
God,
are cold
so
and
wet.
Clammy. I'm
why
sorry.
Why'd you guys got weird there?
Here.
Huh?
We're gonna end
why'd
this.
You sing the song there?
We need you to say a prayer. You're gonna say sorry, Gilbert. You don't have to really hold my sticky hands.
I'm not gonna hold it.
Okay, come on, say a prayer, sweetie. A wish for 2017.
Touch
just touch George.
I'm gonna
sweetie.
Do this. Just put your hand on the table.
Yeah.
No, put your hand on your table.
You've known it for so long.
No. Put your hand on the table. I'll do this.
You've known it for so long.
Okay.
Okay. A prayer for 2017.
Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we are here today because of you, Lord, because of your omnipotent love, charity in your heart.
Love, charity.
Shh. And throughout the history of time, there have been connections, spiritual connections between man, woman, child, and our forefathers. And we have created societies, and we have created underbelly of societies, and we want to live in the society and not the underbelly. And Lord, let us come towards you in the sunset of our lives and reach a precipice of sheer knowledge and a sense of knowing within each other and creating a stone relationship based on stone ideology and earth and spirit. It's all about the elements: fire, ice,
water,
earth,
water.
And spit. No water, Lord.
Not spit. Did you say
spirit?
Oh,
heart.
No water, Lord. And what I want to say to you from the deepest portions of my own temple is that penetrate us with your. With your love, penetrate us with your forgiveness. Penetrate us hard with your wisdom, and let us forever ride the beam inside the hole of which is your own heart. Amen.
Amen. Bravo, guys!
Wow, that was awesome.
It's pretty good, huh?
Happy New Year, everybody!
And then, you know what? And you know what's hard to believe? I made that up.
No.
Yeah.
You pre-wrote that.
I really made... No.
You got off book before this.
No. I made up the whole thing. Shit. And it's very hard to believe.
Yeah.
Bobby, do you have a New Year's show by
I
any
have...
Chance,
oh, yes, dates? Yes. Not a New Year's show.
I gotta get ready. George, jump over there, please.
January 13th to the 15th, Bobby is going to be at the Irvine Improv with Michael Rosenbaum and another opener I haven't decided on yet. And the weekend after that, he's going to be at Laugh Out Loud San Antonio, Texas. And the week after that, he's going to be at the Addison Improv, at the Addison Improv in Texas. For more dates, please go to BobbyLeeLive.com, and I will be uploading links to ticket links as we go. Georgie Porgy.
News around the internet on Reddit. User Bendabiz says he does not want the clone of Willy back.
Oh, yes. I got that from Benedict, right? Yes.
He's Bendabiz on Reddit, but yeah. User Lube Thighwalker quoted my fail quickly and move on. So it only has 4 upvotes, so please help that get higher. Thank you. On YouTube, set of horns and a halo said, "Hey, PD, please tell the crew to keep talking about UFC." So we already did.
Yes.
Boom.
But he was complaining about not hearing the MMA Minute in a while.
We'll remember.
We'll remember. What else?
Let's do some housekeeping, just because we're not going to be. Well, first of all, are we going? Let's talk about this now. Do you want to give this whole episode at one time, or do you want to cut it up and then?
My vote still cut it up.
Okay.
Okay, cut it up. So.
Yeah, we can. Yeah, so we get 2 episodes because we don't want to miss a week, right? Yeah. Right. And also, guys, this is what I really, really want to stress.
As you found out, what you already know is this is coming out a week after the first part.
Well, it's obvious because we're wearing the
same
clothes.
Yeah.
I really want to stress this to turn over the new year correctly. When we receive messages or emails from you guys telling us that we're lazy, that we need to upload the video, there's a camera still on.
I know. That's what I wanted to be seen.
No. She doesn't want to be seen.
She's so beautiful.
Let's clarify the schedule of Tiger Belly for the umpteenth time.
The new people that we're getting.
Right, but also the ones who just aren't getting it.
It's like the same people. I'm like,
you guys, it's Wednesday. Wednesday morning without fail. Maybe we might have uploaded late one time.
When it's like 2 hours late.
Right.
Calm down.
No, if anything,
Wednesday, you're going to get the audio
Tuesday
on
evening,
iTunes.
Tuesday night.
Even Tuesday night for some
West
people.
Coast,
West
yeah.
Coast.
Yeah.
And look, the video does not come on YouTube until Friday. So when we're getting emails like, "You guys are fucking lazy, where is the video?"
You dumb.
For the umpteenth time, it's Tuesday audio,
Just DM me
Friday
on Instagram
video.
And complain. You know, I'm the one that's in charge of that. So.
Right. And occasionally we put a vlog out on Tuesday mornings. That is always the schedule that we've adhered to, and nothing's going to change until.
Yeah.
And if it does, we'll let you know. So I just needed to clarify that because we get some
constantly, right?
I do get a few, and if you forget the schedule, it's on the Instagram page. I put it there. It's Tuesday or Wednesday, Friday, and that's it.
And this episode was not brought to you by Sonic the Box.
It wasn't. Oh wait, that was the previous one.
Yeah, but it's everyone gonna listen back to back.
Yeah,
Anything else? Housekeeping. We want to, because we're not gonna talk to people for a while. So, while Bob, there's a couple other questions we didn't get to. For you, maybe for you guys, will you guys be selling merch soon, like hoodies, hats, shirts?
Merch is coming really soon.
Yes,
really?
George and I just finally got the bulk of the work done yesterday. We just have to figure out the launch date, which will be probably late winter, early spring. It's a fair estimate.
Yeah, we got to wait for it to get made, putting in the final orders real soon.
Yeah, but we're working with really, really nice people.
Dope.
And,
I'm wearing the shirt.
Oh, you are? I
it's
like
that
shirt.
It's my new favorite shirt.
Yeah, so we just got to... We're finally getting there, guys. And thank you so much for being patient. And we hope when it comes out that you
enjoy
support what we put out and you enjoy it.
And then another question on Twitter from Tony Morales. Any plans in the future to add an extra episode each week or maybe extend the usual podcast?
If we get more people that can do this type of work, which is editing, video, a lot of it falls on George and Gilbert does the editing of the audio. George does the video. When we get to that point, yes. But as long as it's just the 4 of us, it's probably a little difficult. Because
everyone has other projects and stuff.
Right.
Too.
Like, we're doing a bunch of other things outside of Tiger Belly, so we don't always have the time to, you know, do that. But we're going to try. I think that's a good goal.
Mm-hmm.
You can just set that goal and just, you know, work towards it eventually and expand in that way. I think that's all I have on my end. You can follow me on Instagram and all forms of social media at CalamityK.
And you can send us packages at our P.O. box, which is
1626 North Wilcox.
Beat you.
Did I beat you, George?
Oh,
North Wilcox
going.
Avenue, number 161, Hollywood, California.
I'm forgetting.
90028, I think.
Yeah, that's correct.
Right?
Cool.
I've got 3 in my head, mine and that one and this one.
Yeah. So I see my sister from here putting on lights on the Christmas tree. Ooh. I'm going to join her. It's been pleasure spending 2016 with you guys. We hope you have a wonderful 2017. We love you. We appreciate your support. And we will see you in the new year.
Bye.
Ciao.
Bye. Make sure you follow Tiger Belly on Instagram at Tiger Belly, on Twitter at The Tiger Belly, and also email us any questions at thetigerbelly@gmail.com. Be on the lookout for our website. It's coming soon. Find us on All Things Comedy. If you want to listen on SoundCloud, if you want to listen on iTunes, go there. That's our main thing. Rate, subscribe, leave a comment. All good. And find us on Stitcher too. All right, bye. Happy holidays. No, bye.
I thought you were going to